Does it show when you're in?
It shows at the top. It has like little 2, 3, 4.
Action.
You know how they do on the radio, not on the radio, the news, and they say, and we're live in 3.
Yeah.
The duo. The duo. The duo.
Welcome to the Duo Sports and Stuff Podcast, episode 102. I am Deontay Epps, joined by my guy, my ace, my best friend, one half of the duo, Dane Beasley. Dane, how are you doing, my guy?
What's good, man? What's good? I have no idea how I'm doing. I think I'm on autopilot at this very, very second. But I'm glad to be here with you, man. It's been one hell of a ride this past week.
Good ride? But bad ride?
A good ride.
You sound crisp with your HyperX Quad Cast S microphone. Dane has brought up his microphone quality. Hope you guys at home can listen and hear the crispness.
No disrespect no disrespect intended of my previous self, but should have known better relying on a $30 mic to drop some hot wax with. So hopefully this sounds a little bit more professional, a little better. And maybe I have it mounted on my desk, or not mounted on my desk. I have it mounted on my desk, but not mounted, but it's on my desk. So if it sounds great.
You have one of those, like, arm?
Yeah, I got one, but it's got my old stuff on it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Me being the unprepared person that I am, I didn't get it situated and up there, but I will do that, especially based on the feedback of this wonderful podcast that I'm assuming that we'll receive.
But you sound good, my guy. You sound good.
It feels good. Look, if you sound good, you play good.
Feels good. That's what they say. We sung a lot last episode.
We did.
What were you about to say?
No, I was referencing a Dion quote. Look good, play good, and I was like, I can't quote Dion. Right now,
he kind of fell off for us. We didn't even get to that, but hey, if you don't know by now, look
it
up.
Wasn't worth talking about.
Yeah,
I mean, we can talk about it, but it wasn't worth talking about it. I mean, I'm gonna speak for you, host, Mr. Hostess.
Thank you.
It wasn't even worth talking about it. Like you ain't about to.
About to go through all that.
Ain't about to go through that. But
well, on tap for episode 102, we'll on deck, we've got
spring break your deck, man.
NFL free agency started, at least the talking period. What do they call it? The negotiation period.
Legal tampering.
The legal tampering. Thank you, Dane. Of free agency. We'll talk about the best moves, trades that have happened so far. And then, of course, it's March Madness time. The tournament, the official tip-off of the tournament started last night on Tuesday with the first four. But the actual tournament games tip off on Thursday. So we'll give you guys our final four picks and national champion. And then the nerd news side.
Nothing.
You see how Dane feels about that? On the nerd news side, The Last of Us finale, episode 9, we will talk about that, The Last of Us season 1. And then we'll end it with a little March Madness fun of our own, coming up with our own little short final fours of things we're looking forward to in the future. So coming up first, Dane, free agency. Last week we talked about Lamar Jackson and the situation he's going through. By that time, I think Derek Carr had already signed with the Saints.
Wasn't really a splash.
Biggest splash. Right. There were a lot of moves that have gone down. I think I'll start it this way by seeing what you think about the Cowboys acquiring Stephon Gilmore, all pro from the Colts, from the Patriots. Will be on the other side, lined up from Trayvon Diggs. What you think about that one, bro?
I would love to give a round of applause to the guys in the front office with the Dallas Cowboys, the Cowboys of Dallas.
And y'all only gave up a what?
A fifth conditional.
Fifth round pick. Okay.
Yeah, we just got that. I think we just got this condition. I know we had a conditional from last year, but, you know, the conditional formula is essentially anybody that you have on your team that signs with another team from the previous school year. Wow. From the previous season, Of course, your team would get a pick based on, I believe, the length of contract or something like that. There's a particular formula. There's also an opportunity if you have a number of minority coaches on your staff and they leave to go elsewhere and get other coaching positions, then there's also an opportunity for you to reap the benefits of some picks that way. Shout out to the 49ers. So we got, I think we traded away one of those fifth round picks, but this will probably go down as one of the better picks. Not just saying this because of the Cowboys, but one of the better picks in raw recent history. We don't make trades and we don't make free agency acquisitions like this. This is not our bag. Look, it's not a surprise why we have not been in deep playoff contention for at least the last 25 years of my life, is because we don't entertain player development and, you know, get in the waiver wire and make those type of situations happen. You just don't do it. You see right now I'm at a loss for words just because this is not something that we normally do. So I'm still kind of just like, really? And I found out, the weird way I found out, just got back from running a bunch of errands, taking my son to the dentist, and my brother JB3, shout out to JB3, he was like, you know, how did y'all pull that off? Well, essentially what his words are, how did y'all pull that off with Gilmore? And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, shut the hell up, stop playing with me. I know you're playing with me. So I hop, you know, I'm fumbling on my phone, and I get to it, I was like, oh. So that's how I found out. I found out I was walking in the house from, you know, being out doing it, running errands all day with the family. So I'm excited, bro.
Yeah.
To put a legit lockdown corner opposite of Trayvon Diggs and maybe somebody they can mold him, shape him, grow him, allow him to be, you know, even more of a professional, especially as he enters into that contract year. Because if he don't ball out because of the contract, he's definitely going to ball out now that there's another elite top five corner on the other side of the field from him. So
yeah,
I'm excited. I'm excited. What about you, man? There is an opportunity here for you to express your deepest, not concerns, but your deepest, sincerest congratulations or quivering in your voice.
Yeah.
Because you're excited about what you all have added.
I told myself, and I've told you this, like, even after the Sean Payton hire and everything that's happened since then, I'm like, I don't care. Just win. Like, we haven't won a playoff game since we won the Super Bowl almost 8 years ago.
So I went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we went, but it's just been too long, and I'm done getting excited about coaching hires and Boys things of that small. Nature. But, however, I will say, at least the major concern for the Broncos has been addressed so far. We went and signed Ben Powers, big time left guard from Baltimore, one of the leaders of that offensive line. So we know how Lamar Jackson and those players on the offensive side have benefited from having a great offensive line. Signed him to a big time deal, one of the needs for the Broncos. Also, we signed right tackle from the Niners. Let me see if I can get his name right. Mike McGlinchey from the Niners, right tackle. Niners also having one of those offensive lines that have been very great and very beneficial in helping the offense for the Niners be successful. So those are two great moves I'm excited about. I saw yesterday in a report that we were trying to go after Alan Lazard.
On purpose,
which I said the same thing. Apparently, the Broncos love his physicality, but he wanted to play with Aaron Rodgers. And by the time you guys hear this episode, Aaron Rodgers will probably announce that he's heading to the Jets, my guess would say. Looks like the Jets are turning to the AFC East version of the Packers, signing all these former Packers and things, getting ready for him. That's another story. But with the move that we're trying to get Alan Lazard, there have been rumors about Cortland Sutton being on the trading block for the Broncos, Jerry Jeudy as well, which I'm fine with. Mm-hmm. They've given great production to the Broncos offense, but one particular player that I'm excited to return for the Broncos, which I really hope we keep, and I think we do because he's a big physical receiver, is Tim Patrick. He didn't play at all last season, tore his ACL in the preseason workouts. But I don't know if you remember, Dame, when we went to the game in Dallas, he was putting on a show. He's my favorite receiver for the Broncos.
Why would you go and say something like that? We've been having a really good time talking. You're going to bring up some old shit, some stuff that happened last year.
I just had to let the audience know, like, how I feel about Tim Patrick. We also signed Samaje Perine yesterday as well. Big physical running back. Great in pass protection. Mm-hmm. And one of the Broncos' identities that we've kind of gotten away from, especially since adding Russell Wilson, is being a run-first team. And if you go back to look at Russell Wilson's success with Seattle, they had a pretty decent run game for most of his time there. He thrives off play-action rollouts, and in order for him to be successful, the running game has to be somewhat decent, right? Like,
right.
The defense isn't going to bite on offense that can't run the ball. We want to take as much pressure off of Russell Wilson as we can, so... I think having an offensive line, one, is very important. Javonte Williams is still injured for us. Don't know if he'll be ready for the start of the season. So Samaje Perine is a guy that can come in and be productive. We've seen that with Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can get a running back in the draft that we talked about. It's very deep mm-hmm. class in running back. So, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm not going to go out and get all hype and things. I do like the moves, though, I will say that. But in the NFL, oh, go ahead.
I have another question for you. Is there a move that you love that another team made? Maybe one of those, first two or three or four or five or six or seven signings? They were like, man, I'm jealous. I really wish that guy would have signed with my team.
Let me think. I do like the trade that the Giants just made last night, getting Darren Waller, one, because you're getting Darren Waller out of the AFC West. But they're going to your division. But, I mean, we talk about Daniel Jones and what he's done in that one-year turnaround under Brian Daboll. Why not surround him with weapons that can be helpful to him? They got Saquon back. The more weapons for a quarterback that you want to see make that step, that next step, I think could be beneficial for this team. I also like the moves that the Lions are putting together. Mm-hmm. I think they got Emmanuel Mosley from the Niners. I want to say they got Emmanuel Mosley, but they also picked up running back David Montgomery. From the Bears. Yeah.
The Bears. The one move that I'm, one, jealous of, and two, is like, man, that's really good because they whooped up behind the last regular season game of the year. The Washington Commandos re-signing Daron Payne. Daron Payne is one of those Alabama guys who's a legit nose tackle. He's a legit pass rusher and run stuffer. I want more than anything for the Cowboys to understand and realize, wait a minute, if we freshen up our interior, it will free up our linebackers and it'll allow our defensive ends to get those one-on-ones that they want. That's what Daron Payne gives to your defense. But the Cowboys don't invest in those kind of positions because they're not flashy and, all the other things. But that's a signing that I was like, man, I like that. But two, because, he's been wreaking havoc and causing some problems with the Cowboys since he's been there. And him staying there helps, the development of our interior offensive linemen. So,
yeah,
I like it.
I know you're also liking the Eagles losing all the Super Bowl talent, which usually happens when you go make a deep run.
I like that not because what it does to competition moving forward, but I like it because of what it does for fans so their Eagle fans can shut the hell up. Like, a lot of them are like, again, a lot of them have been yapping off of the mouth, which is great. I love that the Eagles have finally put together another competitive squad more than anything. But
see if you could do it again.
Yeah, do it again. Run it back. Running back, and you lose a lot of your coaches and a lot of your team, but I think that they're more that if there's anybody in the NFC East that'll make another deep playoff run, it'll probably be the Eagles. So
yeah,
this year might not be what they want, next year might not be what they want, but the year after that, they'll be back.
Yeah. Another move that kind of went under the radar that I'm digging is the Texans picking up Jimmy Ward from the Niners. That young secondary they already have with Derek Stingley, Jalen Petrie, having a veteran like Jimmy Ward who
just throw the Baylor guy in there, huh?
Hey, I liked him.
You know.
He's the honey badger to me.
Yeah. And having Jimmy Ward there can only help that elevate that secondary. They got D'Amico Ryans already making great moves over there. I like that move. And then the other big time move I like is Tremaine Edmonds from the Bills signing with the Bears.
It's an old school linebacker, yeah, right there.
Yeah, he kind of, I mean, if you didn't watch Bills games, you didn't really realize how much of an impact he made on that defense, especially with Von Miller going out. They had a lot of injuries on that side of the defense.
Right.
And he was the guy. Yeah, he was the guy that stepped up.
A big ass cornerstone.
Yeah.
He stepped up. Old school linebacker that your uncle and your daddy used to talk about back in the day. You hit him and you hear his helmet.
And he's the perfect fit for the Chicago style monsters of the midway kind of inside linebacker that can make an impact. Right. Big move for the Bears there. I'm trying to think, Dane, anything else that kind of grabbed your attention, made you say,
I think you touched on it a little bit already, but I kind of like the way that the Jets kind of, the young guys or the young cats from the Jets, they're all making little recruit videos trying to get everyone. Yeah. So that was kind of funny.
I have a question about that for you.
I saw
a tweet from Damian Woody. Did you see his tweet?
No, what did he say?
He said he's worried about, you know, how Aaron Rodgers trying to get the whole gang back together in the with the Jets.
Throw off the locker room?
Not only that, just like the offensive talent that they have there already.
Elijah Wood.
Will it like stunt their growth and development? Like you have Elijah Moore, you have Garrett Wilson.
Elijah Moore. I said Elijah Wood from
yeah. You have Moore there, you have Garrett Wilson. And
where's he from?
Ohio State. You have
where?
All right.
The Ohio State. Go ahead, my bad.
The Ohio State. But you're signing Alan Lazard, you're signing Mercedes Lewis, you're signing Randall Cobb, possibly. Like, I don't know, man. It seems like a lot of receiver spots. I know Mercedes Lewis is a tight end, but you have a lot of receiver spots, and you have guys already on the team that made a great impact. It's funny, though.
You know what he's doing? You know, he's doing the same exact thing that a lot of defensive coordinators do once they get hired onto a new team. They bring in their guys from their regime that they trust, guys that have been in their system to help install their defense. That's what he's doing.
Except he is.
Normally the coach does that, not right. The player.
And it's funny, though, because he complained about times about the Packers not giving him talent. But he's bringing talent or, you know, quote unquote talent that he had in Green Bay over to him. Like the same ones he essentially, I'm not saying he complained about those two guys. Particular, but like he's doing the opposite of what he was saying while he was in Green Bay, but
sort of makes you think, right?
Yeah.
Sort of makes you think.
But yeah, by the time you guys hear this episode, Aaron Rodgers more than likely will decide that he wants to all moves are indicating that he's gonna go to the Jets. Did you see he's announcing that on the Pat McAfee show?
Yeah, the show that he's shoot from
a regular
all season. Looks like he don't want to even be there, but
yeah.
I got you. I like Pat. Pat's cool. Pat calls it like it is.
I agree.
Straight shooter.
I agree. Oh, we didn't even talk about the other big move.
Oh,
before we get out of this segment, Jalen Ramsey traded to the Dolphins from the Rams for a third round pick.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. I know
collusion.
Worth
more than that.
He's an all-pro talent. Like, you can't pull off that trade in a video game. Like, well, a third-round pick.
Rams are desperate. They didn't have much. Look, they got it in the mud, as some would say.
They went all in for that ring, for sure.
They said the you know, picks don't mean that much. A boy from Doctor Strange said it best. The bill
comes due.
Yeah. Always.
Yeah. Him on that defense with Xavier Howard on the other side, Bradley Chubb. It's just shaping up to be one of the big time threats in the AFC if Tua can stay healthy. Yeah. That's going to be the number one question.
Or the medical staff can do what they're supposed to.
Yeah. Players from themselves. And protect the players. That'll be an interesting division because you got Bills, the Bills with Josh Allen, what they've done, the Dolphins, and then Jets getting Aaron Rodgers possibly. That'll be probably what everybody thought the AFC West would be going into last season. We'll see how it shakes out, though.
Look, and each one of those teams is one injury away from being non-contenders yet again.
You know it. You know it. It is March, mid-March, around this time. You know, we can
got any tunes?
Drop that March Madness beat. I wish I had the March Madness beat. I'll put it in post. The tournament, Dane.
Tell people what you mean by that for the regulars that don't, or for the non-regulars who don't know.
Oh, in post?
Yeah, put it in post. Not you want to back the down with your back towards the backboard? Like, is that what you mean? You about to do one?
Yeah,
of
give them the shake, shimmy,
and then the sky hook.
And the sky hook. Yeah. No, I am going to add the music after we record, similar to what I did last week with the Beverly Hills Cop theme. We won't predict the entire bracket because that would take a long time. But we're just going to do our final fours. Dane, did you know the final four was in Houston?
I did.
Did you know Final Four is in Houston?
Man, it was the last time you've been there in Houston during the final. Well, not during the Final Four, but
You're not gonna bring that up. Nah. For another time.
Okay. Still with the moon, I see.
Yeah, always, because they cheated that game.
Oh yeah.
And then the women's Final Four is in Dallas, so right up the road from you. But yeah, Final Four for the men. We'll go through this. And I'll try to explain each of my picks. You already know, out of the East region, or excuse me, the South region, I'm going with the Baylor Bears. Bias, I don't care. Say what you want about me. Baylor Bears going to the Final Four. Everybody saying Bama's going to do it? Nah. I got the Baylor Bears coming out of the South region. Out of the East, I got the Marquette Golden Eagles, number 2 seed. I like the one time they did play Baylor this year, they blew them out by like 20. So that impressed me very much. They got Shaka Smart as a head coach. Marquette is who I got coming out of the East. In the Midwest, Dane, I just mentioned the Final Four is going to be in Houston. This team has had their best season in school history. They'll be in the Big 12 starting in July. I'm going with the Houston Cougars out of the Midwest Division.
Okay.
And in the West Division, the reigning national champions, Kansas Jayhawks, Bill Self, those guys always seem to play their best ball around this time. So I got Kansas coming out of the West. So my Final Four is Baylor, Marquette, Houston, and Kansas. And national championship game. I have Baylor losing to Marquette in the Final Four.
Sheesh. Okay.
And then I have Houston. You're
going to piss a lot of people off saying that in public.
I know.
With your whole chest, my boy.
I'm saying it.
Sheesh.
Final Four is a overachievement for our team, in my opinion, considering how we played this year.
Y'all just got it like that, where that can be, you know, the footnote of the season, that the fact that y'all lost. Like, you know.
But Final Four is great. I mean, it's not winning at all, but it's a great achievement.
I got you. I'd say you cut this whole part out that you mentioned about anything associated with Baylor losing, because, you know, I don't know about you, but I know about quite a few of your followers that wouldn't take kindly to those words that you dispersed just there. So
I feel like every other Baylor fan is definitely picking Baylor. I've picked Baylor in every bracket I felt like I've done in the past 5 years. Let me switch it up and see if we win one, you know?
Okay, the old Dane.
Yeah, the old
Dane trick. Okay,
the old Dane.
Gotcha.
On the other side, I got Houston beating Kansas. And then national title game, I got Houston 90, Marquette 87. So Houston in their hometown, in their home city, their best season in school history. I got him cutting down the nets in Houston.
Okay. Let's see. I wanted to do this on the fly. I didn't want to intentionally look in it ahead of time just because I didn't want to get in my head thinking about it.
I didn't even get to ask you how much, like, I've only really watched Baylor. I mean, I've watched the other games as well every now and then, but I'm not like sitting down and watch every game. You know what I'm saying? How much college basketball have you watched?
Okay. I've watched a little bit. No, this is just in general. How much TV have I watched? The most TV I've watched in the last month was no doubt during the draft when my wife and I, we were watching it together. Not the draft. Gosh, the combine. We're watching that together. That was the most TV we watched recently.
Yeah.
We haven't even been watching our shows that we normally watch the day they come out. We are 2 episodes behind on Abbott. We were like an episode and a half behind on Snowfall. So it was all a mess. Anywho, I watched a little bit. I dibbled and dabbled here every once in a while. The kid is like, hey, I want to watch basketball. So we watched basketball.
Nice.
But anyway, without further ado, out of the South, SOUF, mm-hmm. I got Bama coming out. That was tough. It was, for me, it was either a toss up between Bama, Baylor. I wanted to go with a wild card with Mizzou, but you know, I feel like it would have been too bold if I said Mizzou. So if they end up coming out, then go back to this conversation in the podcast. Bama's going to come out. A lot of controversy surrounding that particular team. So I think the media, as well as just fandom in general, will follow that, and that will give them the push that they unfortunately don't need to make it. But you know, it is what it is. Out of the East, this one was pretty difficult for me just because there are a lot of good matchups, but I would like to go. I mean, JB3, I'm sure he'll be listening to this. I would like to say Kansas State would be the team that I have riding out of there.
I think I got Kansas State in the bracket I picked. I think I got them going to the Elite Eight. I think I do.
Okay.
I have to go back and check.
I have them losing in the Sweet 16. But I think I want to rock with Memphis. I think I want to rock with Memphis.
Okay.
Getting it out the mud and making it all the way out of the East. Again, I want to be very unobvious about the picks that I make, because typically anytime I make a bracket during March Madness, it's busted after the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make some very weird type of moves. As much as I would love for Houston to make it out the Midwest just because it's a Texas team, I can't go with the obvious here. Right, I have to go with an unobvious team. So for that reason, I think I have to go with Xavier. I know it's not what I really want. My heart tells me to go with Houston, just because of the history behind Houston sports. You hear Bomani Jones talk about how dominant and how dope Houston athletics used to be. Leading up to I think what the 90s. If you know, you know. The West. Okay, I think I'm gonna stick with UCLA. I think I'm gonna go with the Bruins. I don't know. The West seems to be the most difficult for me. Not difficult, the most random. I'm like, wait, y'all made it? Or like type of thing. You know, so I think I'm gonna go that route. So in terms of who I have winning it all, geez, man, it's too early, bro. Can I cop out of this one? Just because I want to see how things play out. But if you absolutely need me to make a pick, I will gladly make a pick right now.
No, I'll give you that pass. Who'd you have coming out of the Midwest?
The Midwest, I chose Xavier.
Xavier, okay. Okay. Yeah, you went very unorthodox with your picks. Very.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I typically go very obvious. I'm like, okay, I can see how you can make that. But
yeah,
try something different this time. So
yeah,
you know. But more than anything, I just want to make sure I see some really good basketball, because we have some really good talent, or some star-studded two-way players and a lot of talent on the court. So hopefully it'll keep it clean and there's no controversy that surrounds a lot of the outcomes of these.
That'll be the absolute worst. Yeah. That'll be the absolute worst. All right, so there's our picks for the Final Four.
And y'all better not copy our picks. If you end up winning one of them little brackets and get yourself some change, and make sure you fork us over a few, just to keep us honest.
Because we need that to keep the lights on.
Exactly.
And now it's time for...
What's that sound? No!
No. Nerdy News segment brought to you by...
Shout out to Keith!
The finale. Season 1, The Last of Us.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert off top. Thank you, Dane.
Gotcha, my boy.
Man. I will say this before I get into the dive here.
Is this a disclaimer?
Best video game adaptation of all time. I don't know what else is in the running to compete, but if there are franchises in the future that want to follow this route, look at what this team at HBO, at Naughty Dog, PlayStation did with this season of The Last of Us. I think it was incredible television. I'm very interested because I've seen people who haven't played the game not feel the same way I do. And I think that connection to what we've seen previously to actually see it in live action has played a great role in how my opinion of the show has been shaped. But yeah, I just wanted to say that off top. Second thing, coming out of episode 8, the situation with the cannibals. some time has passed because you can see it's gone from like snowy to like, you know, a lot of green everywhere, the trees, all that stuff. Very, very similar to what we see in the video game. Joel and Ellie, or excuse me, Joel trying to connect with Ellie. Ellie's kind of not responding. You can see she's kind of
traumatized.
Something's kind of affecting her. They continue to make the trek. They finally make it to the hospital. And at that point, you know, if you know the game, that it's about to go down.
The game's the game.
It's about to go down. And so Marlene and the Fireflies knock out Joel for whatever reason. They said
hit him with the stun grenade and hit him with the butt of the gun. I wonder what the success rate of that is in real life when people
hit
the back of the head with the butt of a gun. Like,
that'd be knocking folks like out, bro.
75 to 85%, or
that's like the equivalent of a uppercut.
It gotta be. Yeah. Or if there's situations in like movies, like if they knock somebody out with the gun and it takes more than one hit, but the camera, we only see the mm-hmm. one cut. When they turn around, look at the camera, and all of a sudden you see like the person like with the gun. Right in their face. So,
yeah. You see, Joel wakes up in the hospital. Marlene says that Ellie's prepped for surgery. Joel at that point realizes that the surgery is going to be on her brain, which means Ellie won't survive this cure that they're trying to create. And then Joel basically goes all Rambo in the hospital. saves Ellie. This is the super short version, but he saves Ellie from the surgery. Bodies a doctor too. Bodies like a ton of soldiers.
So casually, the in-game mission for this particular scene, he caught a lot of bodies in the show, right?
Yeah,
but it's probably at least twice, two or three times more people that he killed in the video game.
Facts.
Yeah,
I'm putting it lightly, Dane, for sure. He body some folks.
Put some boys in some caskets, man.
Yeah, and it's shot for shot, bar for bar, like we've said through previous episodes. After he saves Ellie, the car ride when she's in the back of the car, I actually showed Karina like the side by side because she wasn't watching the show with me, and she hadn't seen the game, so she like watched like the last scene with me, and so I showed her how crazy and how close it is to the video game. Incredible episode, man. We see her at the end kind of trying to check Joe, but see if he's telling the truth about everything he mentioned in the car ride about the Fireflies not needing a cure. You see him kind of make a selfish decision that's kind of been played out on social media. It's like, did he make the right decision? It's been a big argument on social media as far as deciding to save Ellie or quote unquote save humanity by letting them continue the surgery. but it ends similar to what it does in the video game. He basically lies to her and says, I swear I'm telling you the truth, basically. It ends right there, just like it does in part one of the video game. First, Dan, let me get your thoughts on the season as a whole. And like I mentioned, beginning of this segment, like how I feel. Do you have similar sentiments, or how do you feel about it?
Yeah, bro. As someone who, you know, I played the game when I first got my PS4. That was the first game I played. And that was the game that came with it. And I think it hits different watching it play out the exact same way that you played the game out. But back in 2013, when I played the game the first time, I was a young boy. I was a young man. But now, family man. I think it's a little bit different. Having been through some apocalyptic, you know, shows and movies, you kind of have different takes, and you kind of put it all together. But I was a little torn with the way Joel handled things. It spoke to me like these are the actions of a man who is not yet healed from his own actions. This is a man that has not shown that he has the mental fortitude to not only move on, but also do what's better for, you know, do what's better for everybody else. Here we see the fragility of manhood and masculinity on full display. This brother, instead of essentially helping, this, you know what the equivalent of this is? Scene from Armageddon. Bruce Willis pushes that button, splits that asteroid or meteorite into two, and they converge, and they, you know, the two pieces of the giant rock the size of Texas or whatever the size it was split and miss Earth. This is the equivalent of Bruce Willis getting to that 3, 2, 1, and he just throws a little detonator, and he's like, we all going down. We all going down. Like, that's the equivalent. Like, he didn't push the button. Everybody died. And then 4K. So, as a father, I get it loosely based off of that. Outside of that, Joel, what the hell, bro? You've doomed all. I mean, I get it. The theme at play here that Joel selfishly has replaced his own daughter with, you know, with Ellie.
Yep. And I think that's a great point. Like, Ellie is, like, we see a lot in episode 9, like, the happiest Joel happy is a loose term, but like the most joyful he's ever been in the series. Like, that is a great point. He literally has replaced, because he literally in that scene when they're walking, he's talked about his daughter, right? Like, you don't hear that throughout the entire series. And then at the end, you hear that because essentially Ellie is his daughter, right?
He's got to be a father to somebody after he did what he did, all them folks in that hospital, especially the people he gave the non-lethal shots to, in an effort to, you know, not torture them, but to get some information out of them, and then get the information or not get the information and still kill them. You got some problems, bro. So, I don't know. I was a little torn. I was excited the way that everything played out. The chemistry between the two was amazing, was fantastic. But it kind of has me scratching my head. I was like, damn, I applauded these. I applauded his action when I played the game. Well, obviously, I was playing the character, but now it's like,
see it in a different light.
Kind of messed up. He definitely doomed everybody. And then, I mean, I haven't played the second part, right? So I was like, what happens when the word gets out of what you did, bro? Like,
the only reason I haven't played part two is because the game got spoiled before the game released. Do you remember that? People leaked the game. And I was like, man, I don't even want to play it now.
In some ways, the video game community, the video game nerds are way worse than some of the movie nerds. Like, bro, why? What is?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to run it for the first time before season two comes out.
Hey, let's do a walkthrough together, my boy.
Yeah. See, speaking of season two, they said season two the next couple of seasons of The Last of Us will span the entire part of part two. So part two just won't be season two. The next few seasons of The Last of Us will be
I got you.
Part two, if that makes sense.
I hope they fleshed, in doing so, I hope this fleshes out the characters more. Because I feel like there was a bit of a disconnect. Obviously, because we have context from the video game and how everything played out, we can live with the gaps that exist within the show. But I feel like we didn't get to flesh out much of the relationships. We didn't get to flesh out many of the motivations from the side characters. Not much of that. And again, this is me being critical. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it got flushed out, but not nearly enough. Like, it was more flushed out than a video game, obviously, but not enough. Or at least, well, some characters, yes. I guess you could say that, because a few of the characters we only got for one season or one episode. Right. Yeah. But the ones like, I guess, Tommy came back. Sam and Henry were like two episodes. I think they were like beginning of one episode. You're right. I see what you're saying. It could have been spread out. And even having more.
That's just, if I could think of anything that I would change about the show, like, I'd say maybe longer episodes, more episodes. Because even my wife, who, she missed the first two episodes. She's like, dang, only 9 episodes?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm looking at her like, yeah, you're right. Only 9. I was like, wait, you ain't even
watched the first two. And the finale was like 43 minutes, 40 minutes, something like that. So
it's like, I don't know. They have to go back to the drawing board that, because there is, look, as a running back for the Cowboys once said, there's a little bit of meat still left on the bone. So.
I thought you was gonna quote Emmitt Smith when he messed up on TV. Do you remember that? Well,
there's so many times he messed up.
I know, it's a whole compilation of him messing up as a broadcaster. That does do look good. Man, I gotta watch that YouTube.
It was so cringe, bro. So I'm like,
You got the layup
because you know he's not the strongest. You know he's not the strongest person in terms of speaking engagements or just in general being a commentator. So they're giving him the layups. Like all he has to do is not look behind him. All he has to do is go with the right hand, not try to do anything fancy.
I'm trying to think of what he said. What was the other thing he said? He said they got blew out, and then at the last time he said blown out.
it might be up there with George W. with Junior. There's an old saying from Texas that goes like, "Fool me once, shame on me. Shame on you. Shame on you. You fool me twice, don't get fooled again." Like what?
I love how we just start roasting Emmitt Smith and George W. Bush.
That boy Bush is just glad to be there.
Yeah,
he's just glad to be. Oh my gosh! Yeah,
that remind me of the Jamie Foxx stand up when talking like George Bush. when he started talking about war,
I got a whole new script. Hey, we gonna get the Taliban. He said, "We have, we like to us." He's like, "Sir, that's U.S." Oh, I can't read that.
Gonna get all them bands. the Gap band. All right, we crazy. Oh man, how do we get there? All right, anything else about season one, bro? Before we do this last piece?
No, man, it was good. I enjoyed it. It was a very, very good show. I mean, it's HBO, man.
Yeah.
It's HBO. So, you know, they always got our back.
Yeah. Excited for what's to come and see how they decide to go with this route since they're expanding part two into multiple seasons. So, very looking forward to how they do that.
Right there.
Right there. Very much so. Right there. Probably, and they're probably going to drop part three of the game. That time.
All the exclusive content, the backpacks, the freaking memorabilia, little, you know, pop-up shops and special theme McDonald's sandwiches is going to, it's going to be a whole thing. And they're going to re-release the game full price 5 years from now.
That's how they do.
Repackage.
For the last segment, in the spirit of March Madness.
You said that last time.
In the spirit of March Madness, Dane and I have decided to come with our final four of things we're looking forward to. Could it be the video games, movies, shows, our final four. Do you want me to go first?
Please. How you want to do this? You want to go 1-1-1
or we'll go back and forth. 1-1-2-3-4 Okay. We'll go back and forth. Okay. All right. Making my
final lowest seed.
I didn't even see mine. You see the choice?
I mean, I put him in. I didn't put him in.
I just put a little. Okay, we'll go. Okay. First thing I'm looking forward to, and I think we both talked about, we might have this on the list, is the EA Sports College Football video game dropping next year in July.
The revamped, if you will.
The revamped. Talked about a lot on this podcast and in person, Dane, about this game and a lot of hype behind it since the last release, which was NCAA Football 14. Mm-hmm. Haven't had a college football game on the scene since then. We know our gripes about EA Sports, so we're cautiously optimistic. But to have a college sports game, specifically football, on the market is
a reputable one.
Yeah.
A reputable one, which, of course, it probably will be better than the actual professional Madden game. It's been in the toilet for the last several years. And if you haven't had the opportunity yet, read my boy Keith's article.
Yes, Keith. About.
Chef's kiss, Keith.
Yes, for
appreciate
sure.
Appreciate you, bro. Shout out to Keith. Yeah, but back to you, bro.
That's it. That's my pick. That's my first one.
For me, my first one, without a doubt, no question, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Ooh.
I cannot wait to see this, not because of me, but because my son, who his favorite superhero, it's a toss-up between Flash and Spider-Man and Black Panther, but he loves Miles Morales, so I can't wait for him. You know, to take him to the that's going to be his first movie going experience. So that's
a great pick.
One of the ones for me. It was either a tie up, a tie between that and the appearance or any flashbacks that are done for Isaiah Bradley's character from Captain America. So
yeah, that's a great pick, brother.
Yeah,
appreciate that. My second one is another video game that was kind of announced, but we haven't heard anything about it in a few years is 2K's version of a football game. Mm-hmm. And just excited. I may not even play the game. It's more so just seeing what they're going to do. They can't do anything simulation wise.
Right.
So could it be like a street Formula 2K NFL street kind of game? Could it be like NBA 2K where you play football in the park with homies? I think that would be a great idea. I've mentioned that before. So whatever and whenever 2K Sports decides to drop the football version of their franchise, I'm just curious, very curious to see how that will play out.
Okay. Well, the second item on my final four would have been, of course, the EA Sports NCAA football video game that's going to be coming out. And the last time I heard anything about it was back in February when the EA Sports team, they were in Florida scanning, you know, content for the game.
Yeah.
You know, I have Florida ties. So my wife's brother, little brother, he plays for Florida.
Right.
So shout out to the Gators. Shout out to Caleb. He's going to have a phenomenal sophomore year. True freshman, of course. So I'm excited for that. But anyways, that was the last time I heard anything about it, but that's what I'm looking forward to the most. Just the opportunity to play something and see if EA has the unmitigated gall to do something better, do something different than what they're accustomed, the piece of crap that they've accustomed to being put out.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. That was a little excessive.
A little bit. My third is a movie that's dropping next month.
Oh,
Super Mario Brothers movie.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
I am so excited because, as I mentioned with the Last of Us series, it seemed they're taking so much from what we've known from a lot of Mario game franchises, from Super Smash Bros, from Mario Kart, from Super Mario Bros, the game, and they're tapping into that nostalgia, and they got me hooked, brother.
Narcotic, would you say?
I'm on it, man. I will be in the theaters to watch that next month, probably first weekend. It's already projected to hit like 100 mil first weekend domestically.
It's straight off of nostalgia. It's going to do.
Oh, and they got me.
Billy.
Similar to what Sonic did, I think this would be better than Sonic.
Sonic
movie.
Was good. The second, yeah. I love the second one. The second yeah. one was dope. Uh-huh. Not to say the first one was bad, but the second one was. And I didn't even realize that was buddy from Community, not Community, from Parks and Rec, John Raphael. That
was oh yeah. Uh huh. And then Idris Elba was Knuckles.
When he start, yeah, he when he started singing, I was like, me and Lisa looked at each other. I was like, wait, that's old boy from Parks and Rec. Yeah. You know, he got a really really particular voice when he does his little riffs and stuff. Anyways,
right.
Okay, I like that one. So for my third one, this one was a toss-up, but I'm going to go with Real Life Event.
Okay.
With the three of us, and I say three. The last time I went to a professional football game, it's with you two knuckleheads, with you and my brother. So the possibility of us returning, the three amigos returning to Texas, and then, of course, going to another football game. So the Broncos or the Broncos, they play the Houston Texans this year. Don't know when, but there's a possibility that we might find ourselves at the stadium, at the same stadium we've been to before, but not for a football game. But at the stadium to watch the Broncos play. So I'm excited about that. That's my third out of four events, and I'm looking forward to it. One, because my brother, of course, he will be, you know, living, he will be a Texas resident. I think within, 5 days, 5 days he'll be a Texas resident. He wasn't born here, but he got here as fast as he could. So that's another element to that, why that's an important life event.
And it's important because it's not the Cowboys, right? You're not going to a Cowboys game ever again.
Yeah, and I meant that. I'll never go to another Cowboys game ever again. I will go to, you know, another game, but not a Cowboys game. Shoot, I'd waste money for parking to go tailgate. No, I won't. I'd catch an Uber or have somebody drop me off to go tailgating before I step foot into another facility and watch an ass kicking like that.
So, oh,
yeah.
Well, no. There you go. My fourth one, Dane, is an MCU show. Ooh. Coming out sometime this spring, I believe. Secret Invasion. I feel like it'll be the first movie vibes, and it's like the first grounded project we've had in a while, like that Winter Soldier esque Captain America, Falcon and the Winter Soldier,
surrounded in hand to hand combat.
Yeah, and it's been a while since we've seen Samuel L. in an MCU project. So excited to see him. Emilia Clarke from the Game of Thrones series is cast in it. She'll be a main character in there. I think Don Cheadle will show up as James Rhodes, aka what's Iron Patriot now? Yeah. So I'm excited to see how they kind of intertwine the upcoming war-ish. I think this is going to be like a connect to the Marvels and the Skrull-Kree War. Golly. Yeah, so yeah, that's my fourth one.
Okay. My last one. Don't know if it happened this upcoming year in 2024 or in 2025, but the Beasley family, we will be in attendance for the combine.
Ooh.
We will go to the combine. My wife and I, it's been a tradition for us to watch it every single year.
I love that, man.
Since we've been together, just to one, see familiar faces, two, so she can see just how ridiculous.
Is it supposed to still be in Indianapolis, or they're going to rotate?
I don't know where they're going to be at, but if they better not let it be here in Texas, because we will certainly be there. But yeah, she really wants to go, so we're going to make the opportunity to try to go. So that's going to be the fourth and final moment for me, just because that's, for me at least, because my team probably won't ever be in a Super Bowl during my lifetime.
That's the closest you get.
The combine is my Super Bowl. So the one thing Dallas does do is they do very well. They draft very well.
It does look good.
There's one thing that Dallas does do good. Drafting. Shout out to the all-time leading rusher, but not the best running back in NFL history, Emmitt Smith.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I said it.
That was funny, man. Why we just rip up Emmitt Smith like that?
I don't know.
All right. We don't mean it, Emmitt. We love you, man. Episode 102 of
the duo. What if he hears this, man? And he puts up an IG video.
Hey, like, we'll get what they say now. We get the engagement clicks.
Is that what we've become?
Ah,
is this what we have become at our core?
Hey, that's who we are. That radio made us. Oh my God. That seems like a great way to end this episode. Episode 102 of the Duo Dane.
What is begging me not to leave.
What do YouTube people say?
Hey man, hit that follow, like, and subscribe down here, man, to get some exclusive content, man. Join the Naughty Gang, man, and get your name in a free raffle. And they give you a 2,000 hour long video and only give you 2.5 minutes worth of exclusive content. That's not what we do here. You're gonna tune in for an hour, you're gonna tune in for 2 hours, you might even tune in for 3 hours sometime. And you're gonna get 100% full, exclusive, premium, grade A content.
There we go. Every time. Every time. Appreciate you guys for rocking with us. Episode 102 of the Duo. He's Dane. I'm Deontay. We out. The Duo. The Duo. The Duo.